Our Bible reading today is from Luke chapter 2 and verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello. I'm talking. How is everyone today? Surviving the pre-Christmas rush? Has anyone still got some shopping to do? Oh dear, good luck. As David said, we've been doing a series this month all about Christmas, and we've been thinking a lot about what Christmas shows us about how to engage with our neighbourhood. Part of the message of Christmas is that Jesus was God made flesh, and this is God moving into our neighbourhood in an embodied presence. And so we've been thinking this month about what does it mean for us to be really present in our neighborhood, to be a presence that is a blessing to our neighborhood. And this morning's kind of the end of that. But don't worry if you haven't been here this month, because my message this morning will stand alone just fine. You don't necessarily have to have been here every single week. There won't be a test at the end, I promise. I thought what we'd talk about this morning is the shepherds. The shepherds are a famous part of the Christmas story. They're an interesting little bunch. I don't know if you know much about shepherds. These days, people aren't really shepherds in the same way. I've got friends who live out on the land, who have sheep, and they wouldn't call themselves shepherds. They just call themselves farmers, right? But back in the day, back in this day, with the birth of Jesus, these shepherds, they lived pretty rough. They lived just out in the kind of public land, and they'd take their flock from place to place looking for food, looking for water. And a shepherd might kind of live in a little community of shepherds, and they'd have, "This is my handful of sheep, that's your handful of sheep, that's your handful of sheep." And we will kind of take our flocks around together, or if there isn't enough food, we'll sort of split off. I'll go this way, you go that way, I'll see you in a couple of months. Now, shepherds tended to be young men, mostly. Teenage boys, basically, a lot of them. And they didn't have a good reputation. I do a lot of youth work here around this area. I try to keep my ear to the ground. Some of our young men don't have a good reputation either. It kind of rung some bells for me when I was thinking about this week. Tell me if these things ring bells for you. Shepherds were often suspected of petty crimes. Shepherds would wander on this public land, but sometimes they'd wander onto private land too. Sometimes they'd get a bit peckish and they'd help themselves to somebody else's produce. Maybe they'd go past an orchard and go, oh, that looks pretty good. I'll grab that piece of fruit off that tree, or maybe half a dozen pieces of fruit. Oh, these grapes here look good. I'll pick a few of those. They just kind of help themselves to other people's things. Maybe, you know, their shoes were wearing out and someone had left a pair of shoes out on their back porch late at night, and they just, you know, I'll just grab those. They look good. Maybe someone's left a cloak lying around and they can get an upgrade. These young men were not trusted by their community. They were not necessarily well liked by their community. But there was one person who had a soft spot for shepherds. Quite a significant person in the Bible. I wonder if you can guess who I'm talking about. God. God seemed to have a soft spot for shepherds. If you read your Old Testament, shepherds come up again and again and again. King David was famously a shepherd before he became a king. He wrote some songs about shepherds. One of them, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Pretty famous. You might have heard of that one. There's some shepherds in the Old Prophets who kind of imagined God as a shepherd of and the people, Israel, as a flock of sheep. Shepherds, that Abraham was a shepherd. Moses worked as a shepherd. It's kind of a who's who, isn't it? A lot of shepherds. God seemed to have a soft spot for shepherds. And in this story, it's no different. The shepherds are out watching their flocks in the middle of the night. Maybe they're sitting around a little campfire, or maybe it's not cold enough for a fire and they're just out under the stars. Maybe they're just chatting. Maybe they're just gossiping. I'm sure they're not sitting there praying. I'm sure they're just having an ordinary night. And all of a sudden, an angel appears. Now that's what I call an unexpected visitor. I don't know if you've ever been minding your own business and an angel appears. But if it happened to you, you might react the same way as the shepherds. Did you notice how they reacted? They were terrified. I think I'd react the same way. It might depend a little bit on how the angel decides to make his presence known. But this one shows up with the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord shone around them and they were terrified. It's pretty special to be in the presence of the glory of the Lord. Very, very, very few people in the entire Bible get this kind of experience. In the last couple of thousand years before this moment, there's just been a handful of very specially selected individuals who get to sit in the presence of the glory of the Lord. And added to that who's who list of prophets and kings are these shepherds. They would not have expected that. None of us would expect that. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid," which is good news. "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Good news. The coming of this special person. The angel uses three titles for this special person. This baby is going to be Savior, Messiah, and Lord. There's no mistaking who the angel is talking about. He doesn't just say, a special baby's being born. He says, no, 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 this is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, the one the prophets have been prophesying about for generations, the one the whole nation of Israel has been waiting for. He's here. He's been born. And you will find him in a manger. And then, just to cap it off, like one unexpected visitor was not enough, a multitude of angels, an army worth of angels, appears and they sing, singing glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And I like to imagine that that was the chorus, and they sang it again and again and again. And it's like the greatest choral concert the world has ever seen, just for these handful of shepherds sitting out in a field, minding their own business. That is a pretty unexpected event. And so, what would you do? You'd go, wouldn't you? Of course. After all of that, surely the very first thing you would do is leg it to Bethlehem as fast as you can to go and see what has happened. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened which the Lord has told us about. And so off these riffraff boys go. I don't know, I guess they abandon their sheep on this hillside and hope to find them the next morning. It's not like they could tie them up, right? They take off into Bethlehem at whatever risk to see what they've been told is going to happen. And they flip the table. Now the shepherds are our unexpected visitors. And they arrive all of a sudden to see Mary and Joseph and the baby. And it's hard to know exactly the timeline of things. I mean, how old is the baby at this point? Are we talking hours? Probably. Jody and I had a baby a couple of years ago. He's up the back. You might have heard him chatting. We've got another one on the way. I think that if a few of my youth group boys showed up in the hospital room a couple of hours after our baby was born, I wouldn't be that pleased about this visit. But here you go. These teenage boys, I imagine, these riffraff, these boys with a bad reputation, maybe deserve bad reputation, I don't know. It doesn't say one way or the other if these guys have stolen things, but it's quite possible. And they show up out of the blue all of a sudden. And they come in, I mean, a scene maybe slightly like this. But without the wise men, they're not here for a couple more years. And they come in and they find exactly what the angels told them they were going to find. They find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in, of all things, a manger. I mean, all our songs are about the manger, away in a manger, all this manger, manger, manger. But it's weird to find a baby in a feed trough. That's not usually where you put a baby, especially a brand new newborn. Jody and I are not planning to put our new baby in a manger. I know it's a Christmassy kind of time of year, but it's a strange thing to do. They come in, complete strangers, and say, this is the Savior. This is the Messiah. This is the Lord. And I guess either Mary or Joseph says, how would you know a thing like that? And they say, well, we were visited by angels. And the angel told us that this would be the sign. Did you notice that? This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. This was a sign. What does it mean that that's the sign? Well, what it means is that this is the confirmation. You know, sometimes when God wants to tell you something, He needs to tell you a couple of times. And sometimes when you think you've heard God say something, you go, "Ah, it could just be my imagination. It could just be a coincidence." And then something else will come along, completely separate and unrelated, and it confirms, no, this is God. This is God speaking. And maybe Mary, who was visited by an angel 9 months earlier, by this time she's going, maybe I just dreamt that angel thing. And Joseph is thinking, yeah, maybe I just imagined it. But no, God wants to confirm for them that He is really working. This really is the Savior, the Messiah, and the Lord born to them. That's why this is a sign. That they come in and they say, here is a baby in a manger. Who'd think it? Who would guess it? But here it is, just as we were told. And Mary and Joseph can say, well, this is a confirmation from the Lord. The presence of the Savior, the Messiah, in a feed trough. The whole thing is a bit crazy. It's a bit bizarre. It's sort of amazing and strange and totally unexpected that you would find the Savior, the Lord, the Messiah in a dirty animal's feed box. Just as it is strange and unexpected and bizarre that God would choose to send His army-sized choir of angels to sing for some riffraff shepherd boys in a field somewhere. I mean, if God wanted to give a confirmation to Mary and Joseph that this baby really was the Messiah, He could have showed up with that message to anyone. In fact, He did show up to three wise men. It just took them a little bit longer to get there because they came from a long way away. But He wanted to give this confirmation. He could choose anyone at all in the whole vicinity around Bethlehem to visit that night, and He chose shepherds. And this baby could have been born anywhere, but He chose a stable with an animal feed trough and maybe even some animals in attendance. It is a story full of surprises. And it's a story that kind of calls us to a particular challenge to change our thinking and change our attitudes about the people in our neighborhood, the people who might remind us of mangers and shepherds. How do we respond to this story? Well, how about we look at how the shepherds responded first? We haven't quite got up to that yet. In verse 20 it says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The shepherds responded by praising God and by spreading the word. The shepherds said, "What we have witnessed, it's unbelievable. Praise God for what we've seen." I reckon their lives were changed forever that day. And they shared what they'd seen. They spread the word. They acted upon what God had shown them. Maybe that's how we can respond too. To spread the word about what we have seen about this Jesus. This Savior, this Messiah, this Lord. And we can praise Him, as we've already done this morning, as we're about to do again. We can praise God for our Saviour, Messiah and Lord Jesus. But also, the challenge, I think, is that we need to learn to not be above mangers, to not be too full of ourselves, to get a bit mucky and a bit dirty, to go and to visit a stable, and to not think that that's beneath us, to not be above shepherds, to see that they too are just as worthy as any other of being visited by a choir of angels. You know, if there are young people in your street who get up to no good, if there's someone that you suspect of stealing or graffitiing or whatever it might be, to not look at them and write them off and say, "Be away, get away from me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to spend time with you. I don't want to give you the time of day because you don't deserve it." These shepherds didn't deserve anything anywhere near what they got in this story. But God chose to share this good news with them. And of course, as our theme is today, don't be afraid to have unexpected visitors this Christmas. I think often at Christmas we kind of limit ourselves and we say, Christmas is a time for family and friends. But maybe this Christmas you can make a little bit of time for some people who aren't family, who aren't friends, for an unexpected visitor. This is your homework. You knew you were going to get one more lot of homework. It's been our theme this month. These are three things that maybe you could do. They're kind of interconnected this week. So it's kind of three parts of one thing, really. If we're thinking this morning about people who are other, people maybe who are vulnerable, people who are marginalized, people who are struggling, how can you reach out to someone like that this week? How can you reach out to someone in need? Or maybe just someone who's been rejected? Where are the shepherds in our community? The second thing is to maybe engage in a practical act of hospitality. Connecting with someone that you wouldn't normally connect with. It can be really, really simple. It can be buying them a cup of coffee. It can be just saying hello and having a conversation with someone. I think at this time of year when we're so busy and stressed, we kind of get tunnel vision. It's like, I've got to get to the shops. I've got to get my Christmas presents. I've got to buy the ham or the turkey or whatever it is I'm having Christmas Day. And then I've got to get home again. I've got to clean the house. And you're just like on this train track and you don't see what's going on either side of you. But just to kind of take that moment with God, take a deep breath to go, okay, I'm just going to give myself a few extra minutes here. It's not too much to ask. I can probably afford a few extra minutes here just to see somebody, just to connect with somebody, just to be a friend for somebody. And that's hospitality. You know, that's what Mary and Joseph managed to do. When that knock came on the door and those boys said, can we come in? They didn't send them away. They had every right to. I mean, Mary just given birth, right? Surely they could have kept that door shut, but they opened the door and they connected. And so that kind of leads to a third idea. This is probably the one that requires the most time and possibly the most bravery from you. So you advanced students, this is for you. If you're brave, engage in some real meaty hospitality this week. Hospitality with food. Maybe you could hold an event and invite your next door neighbor to come and have a meal with you. Maybe you could show up to somebody else's event this Christmas. Perhaps you could bake something, bake some cookies or some cupcakes or whatever, and take them around to somebody and say, "These are for you, Merry Christmas." Spend some time this week with someone you might not normally spend your time with at Christmas. Because there are plenty of people in our neighborhood that don't really have a lot of people to spend Christmas with. Plenty of people who live a long way away from family, physically or relationally, and don't get together at Christmas. There are people who sit at home and think everyone else is spending Christmas with their friends and family except me. And actually, that's not true. Devastatingly, that's not true, because there's lots of people sitting at home thinking that same thing. I would love our church to be full of people who open their eyes at Christmas, who take that extra moment to notice someone and to say, "Let's have a cup of coffee." You're not necessarily doing it on the 25th of December. It's not necessarily a whole meal, but to get together with someone and to say, "I'm going to celebrate with you. I'm going to have Christmas with you." What a blessing that would be for people this year. That's my challenge to you. Are you brave enough to do it? All right, how about I pray? Because if we're not brave enough, we're going to need God to help. Dear God, I pray this Christmas that we would take the time to have unexpected visitors. God, that we would connect with those who are marginalized, with those who are forgotten, with those who are overlooked. God, I pray that this Christmas you would open our eyes to see those opportunities and that you would pull the strings to make it happen. God, we don't know necessarily how to start that conversation. We don't know necessarily where these things are going to go. And God, when we're feeling a bit nervous about it or a bit overwhelmed by the idea of it, I pray that you would inspire in us, that you would give us hearts like yours. God, you saw those shepherds in that field and you chose them of all the people you could choose to be sent with that confirmation to Mary and Joseph. You visited them not just with one angel but with a multitude. God, you saw them and you blessed them. I pray, Lord, that we would follow in your footsteps and that we would see the people in our community this week who need to be seen and need to be known, that we would see them and that we would bless them, and that we would do that in your power with your Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.